Okay, we left off on Daf Kavav Amid Aleph by the Sefer of the Mishnah, Ochlen Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. Just as an introductory statement, Arai can have a number of parameters. There could be a quantitative parameter, there could be a qualitative parameter, and there could be also a question of the species that we are eating, whether this particular min is something that lends itself to kev or to arai. Just before we even see the sugya, as a preamble to the sugya, we should keep all these in mind and see where Chazal took us to, both in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, and where they didn't take us to. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara in that light. V'kama. V'kama achilas arai. So the Gemara immediately deals with which issue, quantitative, qualitative, or species? Quantitative. Kama. This is a quantitative, there is a quantitative amount, and we are going to have a machlokas exactly what is that quantitative amount. The Gemara does not take us to a place that we find in other areas of Shas. Does anyone have a sense of where else Achilas, Arai, and Keva play a halachic role, aside from Sukkah? Exactly. In the world of Trumos and Maisros, I just gave you a short quote from the Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam. The quote could come from a Mishnah in Trumas or a Mishnah in Maisros, etc. But the first time the Rambam gave the Iker, Klalu Etzlenu, Ein HaTevel Mischayev Maisros Min HaTorah Ad Shiyir'e Pnei Habayis. That we have a requirement in order that it become Tevel, and you have to be Mafish, Trumas and Maisros, before eating it, that there be a certain level of reaching civilization. In the field, it's not yet considered to be tevel. Shenemar biarti hakodesh min habayis. And therefore, kol haperos hanecholim basode o bagina, einon chayavin b'maisav neshehu achilas arai. So therefore, meikar hadin, you can eat in the field. If you're picking berries, so leaving aside the din that you're allowed to eat from the berries, maybe if the mafishus and maisus, no. You, it's an achilas arai, it's at, you know, it's because it's in the field. So here we have, and what's called an achilas arai? So it's the nature of your eating. It goes after the mitzius. You know, it's, you're not sitting down to have a meal. If you would sit down to have a meal, even in the sadeh, if you were to cook it, if you were to salt it, if you were to turn it, to process the food in some way, then already it would be a keva. Yitachain also that, you know, if you were to first put it into people who go picking berries, it's a big thing in Eretz Yisrael, during Chol HaMoed, to go picking berries. It's a problem, of course, of Malachim during Chol HaMoed. Going all these things, picking berries, fishing, I don't know, cutting corn off the cob. They're all malachas. It's very, very strange. Rabbi Willi gets very upset about these things properly. Rav Nevinzal, you know, it also speaks about it, that he feels that, you know, unless you're going to go fishing to eat the fish on Chol HaMoed, then you're, you know, that's a malacha. that's not really Tzorach HaMoed. In terms of picking berries, they say that the achila sarai is eating it as a snack. Doesn't mean that you pick a barrel or a bucket of berries, Sally's berries. You know, you don't pick a bucket. If you pick a bucket, that's already keva. That's already a gemar malacha. If you just take a berry and put it in your mouth, a snack. So there we have a din. It's not a question of how much you eat as much as how you eat it. That's missing from our sugya totally. Can anyone give me a distinction between the world of Maiser and the world of Sukkah? Why we would have different criteria for Keva and for Arai? What is the source of Keva and Arai in the world of Sukkah, and what is the source in the world of Trumas and Maisros? Excellent. As opposed to here, what are we dealing with? What's the source over here? You have a heter to eat arai chutz misukah.
Not really
achila. Not really achila, or it's not?
Teshvu
kein taduru. We're back to our teshvu kein taduru. In other words, a snack. You don't go to a dira to eat a snack. You're walking and you eat a snack. Again, it shouldn't be ochel bashuk. You should eat. Go to the side a little bit and eat. But if you want to eat a snack, you don't always go home to eat snacks. And so we have then a distinction between when we're dealing with the world of that which creates the pre, right? That which creates the kri. The bushel, etc., the Gemar Malacha. So then we have a question of practically in the qualitative way that you're eating it. When we're dealing over here with the world of Dira, so we find that that Chazal dealt with a quantitative measurement. So what is a machlokes? Amar Rav Yosef Tarte Otlas. Our girsa over here is Bei. Tarte Otlas Bei. Then Amalei Abaye Vaha Zimnin Sagi and Sagile Inish Bahachi Havele Sudas Keva Elamar Abaye Kidetoim Beirav Vail Lekala. What over here is the Tarte Otros that we're speaking about? So those who have a Oz Vahadar edition, you have a little Dalid with a bracket and it says Yesh Gorsim Bitsiye. Miloshon b'tziyas pas v'nirali shekein hayalif ne'rashi dikduke sofrim. In other words, that there are basically three girsos in the Gemara. What is the girsa we have in front of our Gemara? Tarte otlos be'i. The girsa we have dikduke sofrim, tarte otlos b'tzi'e, which we'll talk about in a second, and the girsa of Tosas. What was Tosas' girsa originally, or his girsa in Rashi? Tarte otlos. So, in other words, without anything, just simply two or three. Those are the three girsos that we have in our sugya, and basically they all come down to the same thing, as Tosus himself points out, but the girsa in front of Rashi says, Shtayim o shalosh pa'amim, yitain letoch piv, murshalis, in other words, those who have an ear for... I'm not pronouncing French properly, but have an ear. What English word is it similar to?
Morsels.
Very, very good. Okay, so you should be aware. There is an Otsar Lashon Rashi, not the Matargim in the back of the Gemara. Matargim in the back of the Gemara knew Yiddish very, very well, and he didn't know Old French at all, but working backwards, he was Targim, from Old French into Yiddish. The scholarly work was introduced to me by Professor Chaim Soloveitchik. At one point, the Rav Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So Keita Mevarchim is a lot of realia. And Rashi has all, and in every Amun in Keita Mevarchim, he has balaz, balaz, balaz. What is this particular food that we're talking about? And so Professor Soloveitchik insisted that we know the laws of Rashi, which didn't mean going to Metargim, but it meant going to find a volume called Darmestier and Blondheim, that there were two individuals who worked for the French Language Academy who wrote a scholarly volume on Old French. What Old French, and wrote a dictionary of Old French, and 99% of Old French is from Rashi, who else at that time wrote down Old French. So 99% of Darmestier and Blondheim, that Demisti, I don't know if he was a Jew. Blondheim was a Jew. Is from Rashi, and they translated from Old French into New French. There were two copies of Demisti and Blondheim's dictionary in New York. One at Columbia University, and one in the New York Public Library on 42nd Street. So whenever we got to Elaz and Rashi, we had to appoint someone, a Sor Lazazel, to go to either Columbia or to the New York Public Library. This is pre photostats, right? It wasn't a question of going there and photostating a few pages. Right? And also it was according to the alphabet of the laws. So in other words, you wouldn't know necessarily the next laws is from. So we had to appoint someone to go, look up the laws, come back, because otherwise we couldn't go into Shia without knowing what Darmestier and Blondheim, how they translated. So Blondheim's son came on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And he had a good friend who worked in the Hebrew University library named Moshe Katan, who was a bibliophile and also French in Bamakar, and he told him about his father's dictionary, and he said, we should use that to put out an Otsar Loazei Rashi according to the order of the Masechta. And so they put it out according to the order of the Masechta. And so this is the yeshiva's copy. This is simply my copy. It's a little larger in terms of print. It goes according to the Masechta. So he has the morsels, chatichos. In other words, bite-sized pieces, mouthfuls of pieces, two or three mouthfuls. That's what Rashi had. That's why the Kukei Sofrim felt that Rashi's girsa was not Shnaim o Shlosha Be'e, like our Gemara, because then what Rashi explaining? Everyone knows what a Beitza is. That's a classic shir. You don't need to translate a Beitza into Old French. He was translating the world Betzia. Betzia means pieces that are cut. And he's telling us that these morsels, Rashi says, each of them is a mouthful. As opposed to Abaye, who says that not that we have two or three mouths, but Kedetoim Beiraz, how many mouthfuls do we have? According to Abaye, V'toim Malopiv, one mouthful. Okay, and so Tosfos goes off and tells us he had the Rashi, he had the Gira Sartarte Otros, without anything, so of course you had to explain what it was, so you know that would be morsels. And it says, Yesh Svarim Shekosavim, Tarte Tlos Be'e V'Hakol Echad, because a mouthful is a Beitza. That's, you know, so everything, it's all a question of just what Girsa Rashi happened to have in front of us, but the three Girsos have no nafgamina l'halacha. They simply have an nafgamina, just in terms of, do we have to translate something as morsels, or do we have nothing and it has to be translated, or do we have the word Be'e, which doesn't require any translation at all. Why in the world, yes?
I just see on the side here, if I go to the pseudonym, you know, Zahadar, they say Hatichos and Shichos. They don't cite it. Are they, you know, does everybody know if they're coming from Ultra Lazer Rashi or where they,
Where do they have it on the.
For me, it's the Hagos pseudonym.
Yes. What number?
Ches and Lamed, Rashi and Tosfos.
Ches, Hatichos and Shichos, and Lamed Hatichos and Shichos. Okay, yes, I mean, it's working off of the old semaphore. Okay. It's a problem that they don't, maybe it was too long to put in. Okay, Dikre Sofrim, we know that there's a well-known abbreviation here, there's no one. Why would you have a shear of Tartei Tlos, two or three? I mean, L'chora, if three is an Achilas Arai, the Kavachomer isn't two an Achilas Arai. Yes. Okay, so I also wondered. So I looked in the back of the Gemara, and everyone talks about it. Okay, so you look in the back of the Gemara, and everyone talks about it because we know, those who are learning Bikiyus in Sukkah, we know that we have a remez for all the shiurim in the pasuk of Eretz Chita v'Seora v'chule, that Chita relates to a kikar, to a loaf, which served as two su'udot, was the size of two su'udot, that was necessary for an eruv, and there is a machlokis, rishonim, how large, and the press, of course, is half a kikar, but how large are, what is two su'udot and what is one su'udah? So there are those that say that two su'udot are six beitzim, and there are those that say that two su'udot are eight beitzim, right? Nafgamina, when we're dealing with kedei achilas press, are we dealing with the ratio of 1 to 3 or 1 to 4? What exactly is the ratio that we're dealing with? That's Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. So, that's what they want to say over here. If we say that a Su'uda is 3 Beitzim, right? We have a Machlokas. Is a Kikar, which is 2 Su'udos, 6 Beitzim or 8 Beitzim? Half a Kikar is a Su'uda. Is that would either be 3 Beitzim or 4 beitzim. So an achilas arai would be less than a su'uda. If a su'uda is 3 beitzim, then achilas arai is 2 beitzim. If a su'uda is 4 beitzim, then achilas arai is 3 beitzim. So taratei tlos, that would cover the shitos, that would be, it's less than a su'uda. It's less than a su'uda. On that, Abaye says, not everyone goes ahead and eats a full su'uda. Many people get satiated from eating close to a su'uda. So Abaye knocks it down to one beitza. One beitza is considered to be definitely not a su'uda. That would be the kamut of the achilat arai. Okay? So we have in our Gemara the shiur of the kamut. We pointed out that the eichut, eating something as a snack, is relevant to the world of Trumas and Maestros. It's not relevant to the world of Teshuv Kein Taduru. However, what did the Rishonim raise? What is the third criteria we mentioned? Quantity, quality, and then there was a certain thing, maybe by nature, an achilas sarai. What is that? That's the machlokes in terms of mine targima. Okay, so let's look for a minute on Daf Kaf Zayin, Amud Aleph, where we have the issue of mine targima and the issue of fruits. You saw that in the Mishnah, Ravi Eliezer held that teshu kein taduru means to eat 14 meals, two meals a day, achas bayom v'achas balayla. And Rabbi Eliezer comes up with a tremendous chiddush that we're going to discuss when we get to Daf Kaf Zayin, that if you missed one of those meals, when can you be mashlimit? On Shmini Atzeres. It's no longer Sukkot. We're not talking over here about in Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Eliezer is an Eretz Yisrael, right? There's a Yom Tov Acharon. You can make up one of the Sukkot meals that you missed on Shmini Atzeres. Halfway the fella. I mean, it's one of the strangest Mishnayos that you can conceive of. But the Gemara asks, but my mashlim, how can he make it up? If he's going to eat a regular meal with bread, who says that has anything to do with sukkah? That's the meal of Shmini Atzeres. So what does the Gemara answer? What is he eating on Shmini Atzeres to show that he's being mashlim one of the 14 meals that he missed on Sukkot? Mine Targima. The question, of course, is, what is Mine Targima? Okay, so Rashi explains, Targima from Dredgush. Okay. So we look it up in the Otsar Meforshe. You saw it, you don't have to go to the public library. It's right in front of you. Okay, so prundgush is matamim. Matamim means desserts. In other words, they were dealing with a Viennese table, a dessert table. Anything that you would eat. And Rashi gives examples. Mine targima, lachar shesilek, after a person ate the main meal, yaviu parpura otu ma'adanim lifanav. For example, peiros, fruits, kistnin, all sorts of snacks, kaput ra'ot, mevushalot, knedruch. In other words, you have this dessert table that has all these different desserts on it, and that's the mine targima. And by your eating that, you're showing that you're filling in the sukkah's meal. Seder? Okay, so Tosas quotes Rashi, Pirish Bekunch is going peiros kisnin kaplutas mevushalin, v'i efshar lomar kein. Rashi can interpret that if he wants to in the sukkah over here in sukkah, but when you look at Shas, which was Tosfos's thing, right, to compare sugyas, so we have a sugya in Yuma that disagrees with Rashi's statement over here. What's the sugya in Yuma? The harava masik the perikhes the yuma the peri lo ba'i sukkah v'diek mihacha v'i salka deik daitach peros ba'i sukkah lishlim b'peros v'dachi ba'aswad v'shrichei peros ibo'i seima mine targima nami mine peros ninu mikomakam mashma di'i peri lo ba'i sukkah ein hashlama mo'eles b'peros. So let's, before we see how Tosus himself defines Mine Targima, and before we see how he's going to compare this to Shabbos, let's just try to understand what is Tosfos's Raya. Okay? So, I quoted for you the sugya in Yuma, I hope you saw it, that the sugya over there is dealing with the shear of Achila, which is Asar on Yom Kippur. What's the shear, even though classically, what's the shear Achila B'chol HaTorah Kula? Kazayas, on Yom Kippur, we have a different shear. The Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to eat. The Torah says, Ta'anuas nafsho seichem, you're supposed to suffer. So we need a shear which is going to cause suffering, which is not going, lo meisvadaita, which below that amount, people aren't, their hunger isn't dealt with, isn't removed. Lo meisvadaita. And that's the koseves hagasa, a thick date, a big thick date. That amount, up to that amount, little, in other words, less than that amount, lo meisvadaita, that amount is meisvadaita, that would be a hafka, that's the shear on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara asks, are we talking about the size of the date with its pit or without its pit? And so the Gemara says it means with its pit. So the Gemara was very, very bothered that we have a Kabbalah, that this Koseves Hagasa is a little less less or more than a kevetza? What does the Gemara say? A little more than a kevetza, right? Koseves agasa she'amru yisera mikevetza. It's a little more than a kevetza. Okay? So the Gemara was bothered that we have a Mishnah which is coming up that says that Rabbi Gamliel, right, on Daf Kaf Avim Beis, was offered two dates, shnei kosavos, and he said, take them to the sukkah, and the Gemara says on that, that's a chumrah. Meikar hadin, there was no need to take it to the sukkah. Because these two dates, kaner eh, the Gemara's habamina is, less than a kebetza, and they don't require a sukkah. We just saw Abaye said that less than a kebetza doesn't require a sukkah. Two dates is less than a kebetza. So how could it be that one date with its pit is more than a kebetza, and two dates without their pits are less than a kebetza? Appears to be, I mean, the pits are all that large? That's what Gemara was asked. And Gemara says, Rav Papa says, yeah, the pits are very, very large. The date pits are larger than the dates. You know, it's that when you have a date, it's mostly pit and very old date. That was the nature of the Koseves Hagasa, and therefore you had to take it into account with the volume of the pit. We're not talking about the volume of the food, with the volume of the pit. Then that's the way that Rav Papa and Rav Yirmiyah understand. However, Rava says, no, you got it all wrong. Sure, the two kosvos, if one kosevis with a pit is more than a kebetza, two kosvos without the pit are certainly more than a kebetza. But the reason that Rabbi Gamliel was machmir was because they were fruit. Uperi lo ba'isuka. That's what Rava says. Rava says, Peri lo ba'isuka, and Rava is the Basroi. Rava is the last generation of the Amoroim before Ravina and Ravashi. And so, you know, we paskin like Rava, Peri lo ba'isuka. How does that prove anything about what Mine Targima is? So Tosva says that Rava, over there in the Gemara, points out the Gemara wanted to bring a raya to Rava from the Mishnah of Rav Eliezer, Lema Masaye Lefikach im Hishlim Bemine Targima Yatza, Viis Akadetach Peri Boi Suka Lisni Peros. Namely, that the fact that the Mishnah that our Gemara mentions Mine Targima as opposed to Peros, if Peros are Chayavim in Sukkah, so that should be the Hashlama. Namely, whatever your chayav and sukkah should be the hashlama. That's what the Gemara asks. Gemara says, we're dealing in a place maybe where there were no peros. Or maybe Mine Targima means peros. But ech shelo yihyeh, we see that we have an equation. That which is chayav and sukkah, you should be able to be mashlim with. So Tosfos understands that that means that which you are not chayav and peros, you cannot be mashlim with. And since we pass like Rava, that you are not chayav to eat peros in a sukkah, so you cannot be mashlim with peros. QED, Mine Targima, cannot mean peros. That's Tosfos's raya. Okay? So according to Tosfos, what we have over here is not only that Arai has a quantitative shear, but Arai also depends upon the min, that there are certain species of food, certain types of food that lend themselves to keva, and there are certain types of food that no matter how much you eat, you can eat a tableful, that by its nature is arai. And peri lo bo'isuka, because by its nature it's arai. Okay? Okay, so Tosfos has that two criteria for arai. One criteria in terms of amount, a second criteria in terms of species, and Tosfos raises the question of peros. You realize once Tosfos raises peros, that opens a Pandora's box. Now you can ask, what about things? And all we know, pas is chayiv in sukkah, peros, and when it's pas, you're chayiv in sukkah, when it's an achilas, keva. That's the kebetza. In other words, more than a kebetza is keva, that you're chayiv in sukkah. Less than a kebetza, you're not. Peros, no matter how much you eat, you're not going to be chayiv in sukkah. What about everything else under the sun? Okay, so that now Tosfos opens up that possibility. Yeah?
Where do we see the shear of a pizza from a dying? And I just added a mouthful.
That's what Tosfos points out, that a mouthful is kebetza. That's Tosfos tarte otlos. Pirish rashi shtayim o shalosh pamim yitain letoch piv, a morsel. V'yesram shekosav behem tarte otlos be'ei v'hakol echad. The Tosfos takes for granted that in the world of pot, kibetza equals a mouthful equals keva. Less than a kibetza, less than a mouthful equals arai. Okay. Okay, but okay. So we have over here two issues in Tosfos. Well, firstly, how did Tosfos prove that peros, in other words, we know that Rava paskins peri lo bo'i sukkah. Okay. And the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rava that im peros hayu chayavim b'sukkah, then hayu yicholim liyot hashlama. That according to Rav Elazar, that we can make up a meal on Shmini Atzeres. So if peros had been chayav in sukkah, l'chora, that meal could have been made of peros, because anything that you're chayav in sukkah, you should be able to use for the meal. And the Gemara says that mine targima. So l'chora, we have a raya that peros are not chayav in sukkah. So Gemara over there rejects that, right? Maybe mine targima is peros. But Tosos's raya is as follows. If peros would be chayav in a sukkah, it could be hashlama. Tosos says, therefore, according to Tosfos, im peros peturim in a sukkah, therefore, peros lo yicholim lihiyot hashlama. This is Tosfos's proof that mine targima can't mean peros. Mine targima, the Gemara says, is a hashlama. We paskin peros are potter from a sukkah. If peros are potter from a sukkah, then peros could not be a hashlama. Mine targima are a hashlama. Therefore, QED, peros are not mine targima. Mine targima are not peros. Tell me, does B follow from A?
Yes.
A is a Gemara. B is a Svara of Tosfos. Does B necessarily follow from A?
No.
Thank you. Why no?
Because just Hashlama doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what you can have as a Raya.
In other words, we're dealing over here with issues of Chayev and Patur. Do you have to eat Peros in the Sukkah? Or don't you have to eat peros in a sukkah? Nowhere in the Gemara does it say this. A person eats peros in a sukkah, there's no kiyum. Lehefech, Rabbi Gamliel asked that the peros be brought to the sukkah as a chumra. So who says that the hashlama has to be that which is chayav? Maybe the hashlama is enough if that's with which you're mekayim. Namely, Tosfos is assuming that because if the Gemara says that peros are chayavim, they should serve as hashlama, that implies that had peros been peturim, they could not serve as hashlama. That doesn't hold water tremendously logically. You could say that peros are peturim, and they still could serve as hashlama. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya, so the Gemara says you can't bring a raya. But the logic doesn't necessarily hold. Namely, there's nothing wrong with what Rashi said. Rashi said mine targima includes peros. Peros, it can be mekayim in the midst of sukkah. It could be pashtas. It could also be hashlama. Tosfos feels no. Okay, but it's not a knockout punch of Tosfos to learn B from A and therefore to throw away Rashi. But what?
Wouldn't that just be saying that A is lavdafka? Is it maybe just suggesting?
No. If peros are chayav, certainly it's a hashlama.
Right.
If peros is chayav, certainly it's a hashlama. That's what the Gemara was asking on Rava. Why didn't Rebbe Elazar simply say be mashlim with peros? Peros are chayiv. She mashlim. Kanera that's a raya. The peros are butter. So Gemara rejects it. Gemara says no. Maybe mina targima means peros. Maybe it was a place where there were no peros. You can't prove that, you know, from Rebbe Elazar. Gemara wanted to prove from Rebbe Elazar that Rav is correct, that peri lo boyisim. You can't prove it. But it doesn't mean, bottom line, that if peros are peturim, they can't serve as a hashlama. Okay, so in terms of mine targima, what are mine? What?
Sorry, can you say that if you don't, if it's not a heker that you're eating it as part of a meal, it's a mean meal or something, fine, then it doesn't serve as.
You need a heker, correct, 100%.
So how's it a heker if you're having fruit? You could have had it outside the sukkah, maybe you're just having fun inside the sukkah, but it doesn't show you're having
fruit. You're not in the sukkah, you're shmini atzeres. You're not eating it, so this isn't chutzlaris. Eating, in other words, Rebbe Elazar, I just tried to point out, Rebbe Elazar's halacha is wow. Rebbe Elazar says, on Shmini Atzeres, I eat peros in my house, that's mashlim, one of the 14 meals I didn't eat in the sukkah. After we'll come to it, that's something to look forward to, trying to understand Rebbe Elazar. But it's not talking about in the sukkah. You know, it's simply the fact this is not a regular Shmini Atzeres meal. Someone comes to me, why are you eating fruit? Ah, because I missed the meal of the sukkah, and I want to be yotzei the shita Rav Eliezer, that I need 14 meals, and I only had 13, so now I'm eating fruit on Shmini Atzeres, and it's ki'ilu, I'm giving mashlim the 14 meals. Okay? That's Rav Eliezer. Okay, so according to Rashi, mine targima, we pointed out, is matamim, is desserts. And desserts include everything, right? Including peros, except what? What's left? What is not dessert, according to Rashi? He says no. In other words, we have the Gemara continues. Tanya nami hachi im hishlim b'minei targimo yotza. Rashi says Tanya nami hachi de b'hachi have suda la'ashlume. Va'af al pi she'eno chozer v'kovei atzmo lechol shtei sudot shel lechem ubasar. Okay, it leaves everything except for lechem and let's call it mana ikarit. In other words, dessert is everything but bread in the main course. That's dessert. It could be that which you eat as an appetizer. It could be that which you eat afterwards, like in. Israelis eat fruits for dessert. Americans eat fruits as an appetizer, right? Fruits, according to Rashi, those are classic mine targima. It's not the main course. No one eats fruits for a main course. Lechem, everything but lechem and the mana ikarit. Tosfos doesn't want to put peros into mine targima. So how does Tosfos for mine targima? No, he says... Next to the last line, mine targima gon basar v'dogim u'shar dvarim shemalaftim el hemet tapas. Mine targima is the mana ikarit. Mine targima is the mana ikarit. Right? That's the basar, dogim, that which you eat with bread. So on Shmini Atzeres, right? You know, if you want to fill in a meal, so what you do is you eat a main course without bread. That shows that that's for filling in for sukkahs. Because had it been a yantav suda, vada, you would have had bread. So we have a head-on machloket between Rashi and Tosfos, right, as to what is mine targima. Now again, using Tosfos's logic, using the logic of the Gemara and Yuma, what does this tell us about these items? Well, according to Tosfos, I'm sorry. What does it tell us according to Tosfos about basar v'dogim? If basar v'dogim you can use as a hashlama, so according to Tosfos, what does that tell us?
Okay.
That they're chayav in sukkah. Right? That there is a concept of kviya on basar and kviya on dogim. Peros is no kviyas. Peros is no kviyas. So Tosfos says, he's telling us that it appears that peros is the only thing where there's no kviyas. Everything else lends itself to kviyas. From Rashi, we have no idea. Rashi is not getting involved. Yitachayin, according to Rashi, there's even kviyas in peros, even kviyas in K'nedlach. In, you know, we don't know from Rashi anything from that Gemara Mina Targima regarding Kviyas. But Tosas excludes Peros. Okay. So now let's try and understand Halach Lamaisa how we're going to deal with this sugya. What exactly is the bottom line? Rashi certainly implies that there's no problem of eating peros in a sukkah, and maybe according to Rashi, if you eat enough peros, you're also chayav in a sukkah. According to Tosfos, no matter how much peros you eat, right? In other words, according to Rashi, the concept of arai, according to Rashi, is only a question of kamut. It's only a question of quantity. According to Tosfos, we have two dinim of arai. We have a din of kamut, the concept of kebeitza, and we have the concept of min, that we have to have a species that lends itself to kamut. According to Tosfos, no matter how much peros you eat, it's always going to be arai by its nature. Okay.
And so Rashi argues on arai.
No. Rashi says, as I pointed out, that Tosis's B is not, doesn't come out of Rava. Rava says that which is chayav, you could certainly be mashlim. Rava never said that if it's patur, you can't be mashlim. Rava never said that. In other words, yitachin that.
So Rava doesn't say peri lo bo isukah.
Rava says peri lo bo isukah. But maybe if you eat a nut, maybe if you were to eat a lot, you would require a sukkah. Rabbi simply tells us that the peri, the size of a kebetz alo boi sukkah. But maybe if you were to eat five beitzim of peros, maybe you would be chayav sukkah. We don't know. Okay, let's look together at the Rosh on our sugya. The Rosh sort of pulls everything together, all of the shitas. Perek Beis, Seif Yud Gimel. Okay? Quotes the Mishnah, Ochen Veshosin Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. Then he brings the Chumrah of Rabban Gamliel, and he brings the Gemara. Kama Achiras Arai Amar Abaye Kedetoim Bei Rav V'ayel Lekala. We paskin like Abaye, as opposed to who preceded Abaye in the Gemara? Who said Tarte Tros?
Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef. Okay. We pass like Abaye. Hainu kebeitza. So again, the Rosh is one of the Bali Atosfos. The mouthful that we're talking about is kebeitza. Kedetoim bevasachas melopiv. Beisabliya mafsi kebeitza. That's what we have in Tosfos. Vedafka pat. This is the continuity of Tosfos. Avo peri lo bo isuka kemaskinam perik basra diyuma. The keva did who? According to Tosfos, no matter how much peros you eat, kachila sarai de pas. Even if you were decided to eat a meal of peros, it has the status of an achilas arai. However, Rabbeinu Meir, who is Rabbeinu Meir that the Rosh quotes? The Rosh is Rebbe, Marami Rutenberg. Rabbeinu Meir haya nizhar mi le'echol peros chutz l'sukkah. Ki haya sover lahachmir kahai lishna de peri boi sukkah. Firstly, it's a machlokis in the Gemara over there in Yuma, whether peri boi sukkah or peri go boi sukkah. Rava holds peri le boi sukkah. But we don't have that Gemara over here at all in sukkah. And so Rav Meir was machmir, that maybe peri boi sukkah. That who say not that way? You just have to eat enough of it. Umi unira de mucha chosam da filui peri boi sukkah, hainuk shikishokoveya atzmo lachilas peros. Right? In other words, that even the Maram Rutenberg didn't mean that he wouldn't eat a raisin outside of the sukkah. It meant that when he would be koveya himself on peros, he would eat them in the sukkah. Vashminon de keva didhu have ka achilas arai de pas. Avo bachilas arai de peri leka mando osar. Namely, everyone agrees that an achilas arai of peri is mutar, like an achilas arai of pas is mutar. The question is, what about an achilas keva of peros? Tosa said, peri lo boi sukkah. Marami Rutenberg said, lav dafka, maybe Rav was talking about peri lo boi sukkah on a level of an achilas arai, not a level of achilas keva. But again, what's the Pandora's box? Once we're willing to distinguish between peros and pat, what about the rest of the world? Shtiyas yayin. What about drinking? Going to having a l'chaim. You go to someone's house on Sukkos, right? So what is the first thing he offers you? He says, would you like some wine? You want some grape juice, etc. So what is that considered to be? Keva or araya? Achilas shtiyas yayin? Says the Rush, Arayhu. That's Aray. Yayin comes from Peros, and again, the Rush paskins, the Peros are Potter Misuka. So Shtias Yayin, no matter how much you drink, it appears, is Aray. For Rabbeinu Peretz Kosav, Dafka Peri Lebo Yisuka, Aval, Bosar Ugvina Vishar Devarim Chutzmi Peri, Bo Yisuka. Who is this Rabbeinu Peretz? Where did we see this previously? This is our Tosfos, right? This is Minei Targima. According to Tosfos, only at that which you're chayev on sukkah can be a hashlama. Minei Targima must be things you're chayev on. How did Tosfos define Minei Targima? He defined it as main courses. Basar v'dagim. So basar v'dagim, v'shar dram chutzim peri, that requires a sukkah. And he quotes the raya. That kedamina bishmeisin im hishlu miminei targima yotza miminei targima haynu baser v'kayotzei bo kenama haynu lehashlama shmeina ba yisuka delor karashi. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi said no, the opposite. Shapirish miminei targima haynu peri peri lo ba yisuka according to Tosos and the Rush v'lo mahanya behashlama adkan ubitosefta. We have something that we haven't yet seen, which is very important. Ochla ma'isa periketam nevarchim. Tanya heviu lefun of mine targima mevorach aleihem borei mine mezonot. Okay, so within Rashi, that fits in. Rashi said we're dealing with desserts. Tosa says we're dealing with main courses. But we see from the Tosefta that mine targima includes cakes. Mashma de mine targima hainu ma'achal ha'asui mi'chameshet minim. Donuts. V'efshar shehu choshuv yoser mi'basar u'gvina. We don't know. This is a lacuna in Tosos. Tosos has Pat is chayev in sukkah. Peros are not chayev in sukkah. Basar and dagim are chayev in sukkah. What about chameshes mine dagon? We don't know. According to Rashi, that's mine targima, but according to Tosus, no. So al pisvar, he says, efshar shu chashev yoser mi basar ugvina, ve'ein raya mi mine targima lahatzrich sukkah lebasar ugvina, ve'gam ein derech lekvo asud alehem. Now, the Rush takes a step back. He says, even though Tosa says that Basar and Gvina, or even the Rabbeinu Peretz said, that Basar and Gvina require sukkah, says the Rush, I don't necessarily have to agree with that. Maybe that's not considered to be a kvius. V'lo chashiv me'achilas aray depas, etc. Namely, that we have over here the Rush opening the gate to the world of foods. So pat, everyone agrees, an achilas keva of pat requires sukkah. Everyone agrees that achilas aray of peros do not require sukkah. Those are the only two things everyone agrees on. Okay? In terms of an achilas keva of aray of pat, the Gemara says, no need for sukkah. An achilas keva of peros, machlokes between Rashi, the Maharam, on one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand. What about basar v'dagim? A machlokes, according to Tosfos, l'chor achilas keva of basar v'dagim requires sukkah. The Rush says, "Mapitam, there's no such thing as an achilas keva of basar and dagim without bread. In other words, it's a snack." Anyone here from South Africa? In South Africa, there's a dry meat that people eat as a snack, like we would eat. Biltong. What's it?
Biltong.
Okay, it's little pieces of meat that they just, you know, eat as a snack, like you would eat
beef jerky,
right? Yeah. It's very fascinating. So that's about, you know, so according to according to the Rush, there's no kvius by meat unless you're going to have it as lulafet by metapat. In terms of chameshes meat, we didn't see anything in Rashi Tosfos. Oh, we saw in Rashi that he had the knedlach and the kisnin. That mine targima. We didn't see anything in Tosfos. And over here, al pisvara, he says that if we could be koveya on basar v'dagim, achor kal v'chomer ki koveya on chamesha saminim. And wine, within the Rush, ein bazek kvius. Okay, we open a Shulchan Aruch. So let's look together at the Shulchan Aruch. So the okay, we'll get back to the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch in the middle of the page, in Siman Tafresh Lamed Tesif Beis, Ochlin v'Shosin v'Yishenim b'Sukkah Kol Shiva b'Yom Yom b'Yom Laila. Okay, Ein Yishenim Chutz L'Sukkah Afilu Shen Sarai, that we haven't seen yet. Avol Muter Le'Chol Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. That's the Mishnah. Kama Achilas Arai Kebeitza Mipas. That's the Gemara according to Abaye. We pass like Abaye, not Rav Yosef. Umuter Lishtos Mayim V'Yayin v'le'echol peiros, adds the Ramah. I'm sorry, it doesn't come through in the Bar Ilan. It's the Ramah, those three words. Afilu kava alayu. Namely, what it appears is that mayim, yayin, and fruit do not lend themselves to kviyus. Right? We take Tosfos and we expand it chutz l'suka. That's the next Mishnah. This is the Machaber brings in according to the end of the Rosh. It's not any and the Tosefta. That would be the Mine Tegim of Tosefta. The Mishnah Brura tries to make order out of all of this from our sugya, and he points out Mayim Yayin Lechol Peros Afilu Kava Alayhu, that the Ramah who says that Peros, even the Kvius of Peros is not Chayav, Hatam Dachilas Peros Afilu Harbi Bikvius, Choshiv Rak Achilas Arai Depas. This is Tosfos. And then he continues, Vuhu Hadin Basar Vedalim Ugvina Usharmina Ma'achal Chashuvim Kepera Ledaas Ashulchan Aruch. Namely, that what's missing in the Machaber is what about Basar Vedalim? We saw according to Tosos, you're chayav. We saw according to the Rosh, ma pitom, it's not achilas keva. So the Mishnah Brura understands that just as we view peros as being pater from sukkah, huadin, basar, dogim, gevina, all of these minim, all of these species, there's no concept of keva. V'lo hechmir basof, rak betav shil ha'asui, mechamishas ha-minim. And the mashi giya harama, afilu kavalayu, koi gam al yayin. So Yayin is included in this world of Mashkin, that is no kvius by Mashkin. Tamo de Yayin e nechshav rak ka'achilas pri, that the Mainafgina, whether you're eating grapes or you're drinking wine, there's no kvius on peros, a kol shekein shar Mashkin. V'alkein lo choshev kvius did hu. Okay, so this is all the Shulchan, in other words, this is the Mishnah Berurah explaining the Machaber. That the Machaber who deals with the ktsavot, he deals with the poles. Right? You have pat, where vada you have a din of keva. You have peros, mashkim, where you have no din of keva. Hu adin basar v'yayin, there's no din of keva. Dogim, there's no din of keva. In other words, that we have these poles. And the chiddush of the mechaber is chameshes minim. Chameshes minim have a din of keva like pat. Comes along, the Mishnah Berurah points out, v'dad, the kamachrim efaktukin v'din zeh, V'daitam di'im shose yayin b'kviyus chayev v'suka, that yayin is something that people tend to view as a kviyus. Here we're moving off of kviyus from the concept of kamut, quantity, to which concept? Quality. That people tend to sit down together, make l'chayim. That creates a kviyus. Okay, in terms of brachos, so we stick to that which is in the Shulchan Aruch. You're only going to make a leishev basuka on either pas or on chameshes minei dagan. Okay, moving down to the next Mishnah Brura, which deals with the chameshes minei dagan, koveya aleihem, retonam she'ochlam b'chabura. How are you koveya on donuts? Either you eat them b'chabura, right, you have your Dunkin', you have your coffee and donut with a number of people. O ochel shir chashuv shekoveya sudaso bazeh. V'lo dai shiochel mat yotem mikabetz kumar pas. We move back to the world of pas v'avakisnin to eat four or five kabetzim. There's a machlokas on that. V'da o that there are some achroni he mentions that there's a chumra to eat baser v'dagim u'gvina dafka in the sukkah, that's working off of Rabbeinu Peretz. However, dafka b'kviyus, havalo b'kviyus ein lehachmir. And then he pointed out in the Shar HaTziyun, hinei hachaye odam heetik chumra zo gamunyan peros b'kviyus. Namely, like the Maharam Rutenberg, if you're really going to be machmir, so be machmir like all the Rishonim. Maharam Rutenberg, if he would eat a meal of fruit, he would eat in the sukkah. Anochi lo heetakti neshebedera chayim v'sharei tshuva b'shem haginas radim mekilin b'zayen shah. In other words, Mishnah Berurah felt that there was a point where of no return. You're not going, in other words, it's just taking things too far. Okay. So what we have over here then is that this world of Minei Targima opened up a box in terms of the fact that if we're going to say like Tosfos, again, Rashi doesn't say it, if we're going to say like Tosfos that there are certain species that by definition there's no din of keva, and those include peiros, then the question is, what else is included in that? So we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, basar, dogim, mashkim, yayin is all included in things don't lend themselves. And chameshis minim comes in through the back door from the Tosefta in Brachos, that this is something more similar to pat, which lends itself to kviyas. But on all of these matters, you have a machlokas, even to the degree of pros bekefa. On all of these things, you know, you have a machlokas rishonim and achronim, and so, in other words, in terms of the issue is basically that there is room to be machmir, al pidin, one can be mekel, but in terms of brachos, one should try and stick to the making brachos on things that are muskam by most rishonim. Tosvos, after pointing out that Peri lo have lo boi sukkah, raised the issue of sudot on Shabbos. Do we have a similar definition to sudot of Shabbos as we have in the world of sukkah? So let's go back to Tosfos. The Rosh also quotes it, but let's see it in Tosfos on Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos says ve'ein lilmod mikan shiu'ilu minei targima lahashlim gimel sudot shel Shabbos, and that even though minei targima can be mashlim on Shmini Atzeres for Sukkos, who says that would be enough for Shalosh Suda Shlishit? No matter what minei targima is, the shiny hasam the afina midechsiv trosa hayom gabe mon shubamakom pas nekuda. So it says that Yitachain, that Shalosh Sudos of Shabbos, we have no alternative but to eat bread because of the din of Ma. Okay? And even if you want to say that it's similar to Sukkah, just as in Sukkah, Peros is certainly no good, Hu Adin, in terms of Sudot Shabbat. What would you say? Do you think that there's room, according to Tosfos, it appears that without the Gzeres HaKosov of Mon, there would be room to compare Sudot Shabbat to Sudot Sukkah. Whatever would be a Suda and a Sukkah would also be a Suda on Shabbos. But we have this Gzeres HaKosov of Mon. Do you think that there's room to compare, or is there room to distinguish? Again, previously, Elchanan distinguished between the world of Trumos and Maestros and the world of Sukkah, that Trumos and Maestros is the world of Gemar Pri, and Sukkah is the world of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru. What about Shabbos and Sukkah? Sukkah remains the same. Sukkah is a din of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru. Where did the Sudas of Shabbos come from? The Man, it teaches us according that you need Pat. But the Man is not the Makar of Sudas Shabbos. What's the Makar of Sudas Shabbos? Okay, let's look in the Rambam. Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed Olcha Zayin. Eizehu Oneg. Zeh Shamru Chachamim Shetzarech Letakein Tav Shel Shamin B'Yosiru Mashkem Avusam L'Shabbos. Hafil Akol Lafi Mamon Shel Oda. Kol Amar Rebotzo Shabbos U'Betikun Macholim Rabim V'Tomer Izem B'Shubach. Skip Talocha Yud. Achilas Basar Shti Asayin B'Shabbos Oneg Hula. Now let's go to B'halcha Tet, between Zayin and Yud. Chayav Adam Rechol Shalosh Sudas B'Shabbos, Achas Arvis, Achas Shacharis, Achas V'Mincha. Tzarech Yizor B'Shalosh Sudas Eilu Shal Yivkos Meim Klal. What's according to the Rambam? What's the makar of the din of Shalosh Sudas? Onik Shabbos, thank you. In other words, if the Rambam over here, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, is talking about Onik Shabbos, and he puts Shalosh Sudas smack in the middle of Onik Shabbos, that's Onik Shabbos. Classically, how many Sudas in the time of the Rishonim, until about 100 years ago? How many Sudas did a person eat a day?
Two.
And on Shabbos? Three. That's Onik. Oneg means to, on Shabbos, increase quantity, go from two sudos to three, and increase quality. Basar, yayin, tavshil shamein, mashke mavusam, etc. That's Oneg Shabbos. So l'chora, in other words, according to the Rambam at least, there is no room to compare Suda Shabbos to the world of Suda Sukkah. We're dealing with two different worlds. Maybe, and this maybe Akiva was correct, maybe Tosfos understood that maybe that Shalosh Sudas have nothing to do with Oneg. Maybe Oneg is only a din in the quality, but three Sudas, maybe that really is a din of learned out from Hayom, and then maybe it's more similar to the world of Sukkah, perhaps. Don't know. Maybe. But understanding it as a din of oneg doesn't leave room for comparison. What about in terms of the suddas of Shabbos, in terms of our issue? What can you use for suddas of Shabbos? Kotosa says only pat, right? That you not mean a targima. How does we pass in the Shulchan Aruch? So look over here, next to the last source on the page, Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos, tzarech la'asosa bepas, tosfos. V'yesh omrim sheyachol la'asosa b'chol ma'achal ha'asui me'echad mechamishis m'minei dagam. Bring in the Tosefta from Ketzad Mevorachim, that also lends itself to the world of Keva, not only in terms of Sukkah, maybe also in terms of Shabbos. Yesh omrim sheyachol la'asosa dvarim ha'malachtim esapas, basar v'dagim. Bring in minei targima, avalo b'peiros. V'yesh omrim sheyafilu b'peiros yachol la'asosa. We even have the, you know, with such, you know, is that within the Shalosh Sudas, it's, again, we have all of these possibilities. All the possibilities that we saw that are Shayach in the world of Sukkah are also Shayach to the world of Shabbos. But there's no necessity that what we're going to say in Shabbos is what we're going to say in Sukkah. There's room to distinguish between them. Even if we say, let's say, Peros, you can be Yotze Sukkah, because it's a Kavius, who says that that's enough for Shabbos? On the other hand, even say that on Shabbos, my oneg is peros. I'm a fruit maniac. My oneg is Shabbos. We know that a person who gets an oneg from fasting is allowed to fast on Shabbos. So a person who gets an oneg from eating fruit, so maybe that's his oneg. Maybe that's enough. That's a yesh omrim on Shabbos. That wouldn't work for teshuv kein taduru. Namely, that we have different criteria in terms of sukkah and in terms of Shabbos. But we have the same litany, the same list of options.
Wouldn't the, you're saying oneg is subjective, right? Depending on the person. Wouldn't be teshuv also be subjective?
The Gemara says no. The Gemara says that teshuv, we have a requirement of an objective kamut, an objective amount. All right, that less than a kibetza, even if I would be koveya on it, I'm patur from sukkah. It's an object. It was teshuv. The Gemara says for kama. The Gemara says the teshuv came to do is quantitative. We pointed out that we don't find anywhere in the sugya over here the issue of eating in an arai manner. That's in Trumas and Maestros, right? Eating as a snack. We in terms of the species here, Tosus opened up the possibility that maybe there are those species that don't lend themselves to kviyus. What you're pointing out is that you would have maybe that the world of kviyus by pat would be a kibetza. The world of kviyus by mazonot, maybe three or four kibetzim, like by pizza. The world of kviyus by peros, who knows what is the world of kviyus by peros? Kviyus by yayin, who knows what's the world of kviyus by yayin? A revius, two revius, how much is kviyus by yayin? We know, let's say for example, if a person on Shabbos wants to make kiddush in the morning and doesn't have mizonos, and there's a din of kiddush makam suda, what does he do? He drinks two revius. One revius for kiddush and another revius for, or there are those who say maybe one revius can be for both, to turn it into a suda. So we have, you know, that yayin may have a different nature of kviyus. But again, that may be in Shabbos and not apply to sukkah. That these may be two different worlds. Okay, ad kan halacha aleph. Okay, let's continue. I'm sorry, it's going slower than I had hoped. Let's continue on daf kavav. Tanu rabbanan, yeah? Ochlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Ve'ein yeshenin shenas arai chutz l'sukkah. My taima. Amar Rav, someone, right? In other words, we have an argumar Rav Ashi, but we know it can't be the classic Rav Ashi because he can't have a conversation with Rava, but maybe it's a previous Rav Ashi. Amar Rav Ashi. Gezeira shema iradein. Amar Abaye, elo hadetanya yoshen adam shenas arai betfilin avalo shenas keva lechu shema iradein. Amar Rav Yosef bered Rav Yiloi b'Moshe shenasu la'achirim. This is all, and it continues. Maskim Rav Mesharshia arvach arva tzarich. Ela Amar Rabba bar Barachan Amar Rav Yochanan meniach rosha ben birka vaskinan. This is all one parenthetical statement. And so far we have Rav Ashi. The reason, according to Rav Ashi, that you can't sleep a shenas arai chutz l'sukkah gzeira shema yiradim. Rava has a different reason. Rava Amar ein keva l'shena. Let's discuss this machlokas between Rava and Rav Ashi. Okay? No. Rashi has Gzera Shema Yeradim, and Rava says Ein Keva L'Shena. L'chora, what we have to try and understand over here, not so much as Ravashi. Ravashi has Gzera Shema Yeradim. Okay. What does Rava mean, Ein Keva L'Shena? How does Rashi learn Rava? What does Ein Keva L'Shena mean?
By Sukkah, it's not quantitative, it's qualitative.
By Sukkah, it's not quantitative. Why is it not quantitative by Sukkah?
Because the notation was getting enough chias, I guess, from the sleep.
Okay, excellent. In other words, that inachinami, a Sukkah is teshvu kein taduru. And inachinami, kein taduru is keva, but keva in the world of Shena is not quantitative. A person could take a cat nap and wake up totally refreshed. So that's his keva. That's considered to be a meaningful sleep. In the world of food, less than a certain amount, people view as a temporary snack, not as something which is going to keep them going. And Rav Ashi, what would he say?
There is a difference.
That there is a difference. Right? That the same keva that we have in the world of food, we have a keva in the world of Shena. We have a concept of Shena's keva. And so why shouldn't you not sleep Shena's Arai? Shema Yeradim. Shema Yeradim. Okay, but how else could you and Rava differently than Rashi? Rashi understood over here that in Mitzius, people many times can get refreshed after a short nap. How else could you learn a little more conceptually? Ein keva l'shena. In the world of food, is there a phrase that we have for achilas keva? Do we call an achilas keva something? Is it, you know, where it's, is there a word which is used in the Mishnah to define an achilas keva?
Suda,
excellent. Amar Rav Elazar, chayev le'echol yudalet sudos sukkah. We have achila, we have eating. Eating can be any amount, and we have su'uda. And in sukkah, teshuvah kein taduru, you need su'uda. And our question is, what is considered to be enough of a keva to make it a su'uda? What about in the world of shena? Perhaps according to Rava, what?
In English, there's differences, but there might not be in terms of
Hebrew. Right, and in the Lashon HaKodesh, Yitachin, very fine, right. That Yitachin, that Shena is a certain state of being. There's a state of being called sleep. And there's no such thing as a state of being called long sleep, deep sleep, slumber, etc.
Tardema?
What?
Tardema?
Good question. Okay, but maybe according to Rava, in other words, that the state of being of sleep is that which you can't be in the sukkah. Namely, it's in the world of achila, we could speak about keva and arai. In the world of shena, not because people, Rashi says, as Chaim said, that one can refresh oneself. Maybe even if it's not a question of refreshing oneself, simply by definition, shena is something that one can't do in a sukkah. Outside of a sukkah, I'm sorry. Let's move over a minute to the world of Ravashi. Ravashi says, Gzeira Shema Yeradim, and the Gemara asks on Ravashi, why shouldn't he make a Shomer? And we say, when we have a Gzeira, at least you do something, a Shomer should help. Now, is that really true? That every time we have a Gzeira, at least you do something, that a Shomer would help to solve the problem?
Yeah?
Yeah? Where do you find that?
Yichud?
In Yichud, we have a Iser Yichud. I'm saying that when we have a Gzeira Shema.
Is Suga before Tefillah?
Excellent. So, if you look at the final Makor that I quoted for you, we have Mishnayos in Maseches Sukkah of all sorts of things that are allowed to do before davening. Lo yeshev adam listapir samach lemincha at yispalel, lo yikanes lemerchatz, lo lebursiki, lo ledin, lo leechol. Then we have suda gedola, suda ketana, mincha gedola, mincha ketana, etc. Comes along the Rama and says, we're mekel. We're mako. The yeshiva here, we eat supper, and then we'd have a mariv. That's us, according to the Gemara. You can't do that. You're supposed to daven mariv and then eat supper. Maybe you're going to, you know, fall asleep in supper, etc. So the Ramah points out that Nohagu kol hasvaros lahakel and explains Efshar Hatam, three lines from the bottom. Maybe the reason we're mekel nowadays, Mishim da'achshav korin lebeis hakneses. Nowadays, in the time of the Ramah, they used to go around knocking on the shutters, time to daven, time to daven. He quotes an aguda. L'chora, what's that? That's the shomer. There were somech on the shomer. The shomer could be an alarm clock. The shomer could be someone knocking. The shomer could be a schedule in the yeshiva where everyone davens together. That's the shomer that can override it. Comes along. Rav Yosef and says, I'm sorry. Comes Rav Meshach and asks, Arvach Arva Tzarich. Who's the shomer on the shomer? Could you distinguish between a shomer whose job is to keep someone from falling asleep and a shomer whose job is to tell someone to daven mincha? Yitachein that dafka a shomer who's in charge of telling you not to fall asleep is going to fall asleep. In other words, that if the issue is that everyone is tired and you're afraid that you're going to fall asleep, what good will it do to ask someone else who may be just as tired as you? But if the issue is to remind you to daven, if the issue is to remind you to, you have an appointment, you have this, you have that, then yitachein no. In other words, because not all the time do we find the concept of arva. The arva lesle, I mean that l'chora, that's what the Ramah points out over here, that we're somech that korin lebeis haknesis. We don't say arva lesle, but it could be dafka over here. Okay, what we haven't yet discussed at all. That will leave we net if yom revi. I'd like really yom revi to go through the sugya of tefillin from, if possible, from beginning to end. Okay, so I hope you already began, but that pretty much takes us through up to the Mishnah. Okay. So if we can get up to the Mishnah with the sugya of tefillin, there's not that much that I sent you to in the Rishonim here, but I sent you also to the Rambam to understand basically what is the concept of Hesach Hadas and tefillin, what's the concept of Shmira and tefillin, why do we speak about someone who has tefillin next to his head as though he's wearing tefillin? I mean, like, just to understand the Gemara is sometimes a little difficult. Okay, so Bli Neder, I may add some Ramakom, but basically we'll finish. So Bli Neder, after Sukkot, we could begin with Maisa Ve'Viula. Okay, by that time, you should be Kiyum in Sukkah from the halachas that we'll learn, so it'll make life a little easier. The Seder, Bahatzlacha Rabbah, when you go downstairs, there should be someone speaking in the Beis Medrash now, so just go in quietly, and when he finishes speaking in the government.